Welcome back to Cinema Vino. We apologize for last week. And
no. Wait, no, it was the week before. I think I was okay last week.
Are you talking the Joker one?
Mm-hmm. No, this was...
Monster Squad.
Yeah. It went long.
It went long, but it was good.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was good. It was the...
Sean fucking sucks.
Yeah.
Well, clearly, because we've replaced him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would never say that when he was in here to his face.
Oh, I did. Often.
But yeah, this week we've got Daniel Gimlin.
Hi.
Welcome.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk about some good stuff, talk about Martin Scorsese and his upcoming movie and his curmudgeonly comments to the media. So The Irishman's coming out in theaters, I believe,
soon.
This week. Like, yeah,
if not now, yeah.
And then being released to Netflix, mm-hmm. Reminds me of Roma last year and how it was. I don't say it was exclusively Netflix.
I think it was straight to Netflix, yeah. It was.
And I think the best movie of last year was an exclusive Netflix release. Yeah. Kind of crazy. Nice. So, but yeah, we'll get into what are our thoughts on that? We'll go around to our first guest, Daniel. What do you think?
On Scorsese's comments or Netflix?
The movie in general, like, what are your thoughts on, like, are you excited for it? Do you think it's going to be good?
The Irishman?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can't wait. The first trailer didn't wow me over, but I've... all the critics that I follow and respect walked out and were just like, get ready. He crushed it.
Good.
The CGI stuff initially was like a little bit scary for me. Mm-hmm. I forget how much the movie, they gave him like $120 million or something to do it. And all of it is de-aging.
Yeah.
CGI. But yeah, I couldn't be more excited. Mostly just from critic response walking out of it was like, we should always give Martin Scorsese $100+ million to make movies.
Yeah. Yeah. Blank check.
Yeah. Just do whatever you want. You can't, he maybe has like 10 years left in him.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm very excited.
Yeah.
Of course we say that Clint Eastwood's still making movies.
Jeez.
He's coming up on 90.
Yeah. He's all right.
Yeah.
I wonder if Scorsese's using any of those. I don't think I've even seen the trailer for it yet, but I wonder if he's using some of that de-aging special effects that have been used in Marvel
movies.
Oh.
That would be very interesting.
That would be ironic.
Now, I'm not saying that, you know, Benjamin Button hasn't come out, you know, years before or whatever, but it's been pioneered. I wouldn't say perfected, but
nowhere
you know,
near it.
They did a lot of Michael Douglas and
Ant-Man.
Sam Jackson in the Captain Marvel movie.
Rogue One.
Honestly, I feel like that stuff is mind-blowing. The first time Avengers 2, I think is when Robert Downey Jr. gets on stage and does it with his old self. He's like a 19-year-old college kid, mm-hmm. and my jaw was on the floor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's dead on.
Yeah, just seamless.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable.
Plastic surgeons going out of business in LA now. Yeah. What have we come to? It's like, God damn it.
Gemini Man was hit and miss. There were moments where it's like, this looks phenomenal. You can see the money. And then there are moments where it's like, that looks like a cartoon. Mm. That looks like a Will Smith cartoon.
How many stars did you give that one?
That was 3 out of 5. It was like...
That's the most generous review on the internet.
Yeah. I saw the trailer and the first trailer for that, and it looked like a stinky penis with nothing but like ingrown pubes all around. I was like, I am not going to see that.
That's a blurb right there.
That is.
Yeah, I really like the premise of it. Like, I wanted it to be better than it was. I think that was wishful thinking on my part of like, I like the idea of like a young assassin and an older assassin, like, squaring off with their differences, like, coming into play of, like, is experience or youth, like, you know, agility or intelligence,
Looper?
What's better? Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like, I want it to be kind of a variation of Looper, and it's like, that's what I was hoping for, and that's what I did not get.
Yeah. I will say this, I know we're getting off topic, but I'm just not a Will Smith fan.
Yeah.
It was like, some movies are okay, but it's like, I saw him, like, this looks like dog shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, and, like you said, like, the premise sounds awesome and really neat, but, like, I'm just not a Will Smith fan.
What was his last good movie?
And there's a crazy writing team attached to that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And have been in production purgatory for like 20 years. So they had forever to work on the script. And Ang Lee's not a dum-dum.
No.
But he's done this a few times.
Yeah.
What was the halftime show for Billy Jim Bob Gates? Did you guys ever see this movie?
I can't remember. I know what you're talking about. I can't remember the name of it.
But he's made some of my favorite movies ever.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Life of Pi was great.
Life
mean,
of Pi, Crouching Tiger, mm-hmm. and then
the Hulk was great.
Sense and Sensibility.
I like that everybody laughed.
Yeah. Oh, I liked his Hulk actually.
Travis, that's no. All right. So,
I actually did like it.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like I've said it's. I liked the movie as it being like a movie. Like, granted, it wasn't
the cut.
Yeah, was like I liked it mm-hmm. that way.
I didn't like Hulk fighting a poodle.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, no, in the forest, a giant poodle in the forest.
Mm. it's the symbolism.
We've all been there.
I'm there for the tank scene in a desert.
Yeah,
you get the scope of the desert, and you're like, oh, he just picked up a tank and tossed it 2 miles, right. And it looks like pretty realistic. Mm-hmm. That's what we're getting when I go to the movie, and also Connelly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. That I agree with.
Wow.
So Scorsese,
so the Irishman.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, yeah. That movie.
Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting because it's like he hasn't worked with De Niro or Pacino.
No, and I'll be honest, I didn't really know any of that. So when I went and watched the trailer, I was like, "Holy shit!" Mm-hmm. Like, and the most recent trailer that came out, I was like, "Yeah, I should probably go see this movie." Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm super excited for it. Same way, it's like I actually do like Scorsese like a lot.
Yeah.
Once again, like I saw, it was like 3 hours. I'm like, come on, man! It was like 3 hours and 2 minutes, I think. And I was just like, really? But with his films, sometimes it doesn't feel that way.
Yeah.
Like, you're actually so invested into it, and it's like, okay. Then you got the Aviator, which I'm like, what the fuck, man?
Was yeah.
like,
The Departed yeah. his last film?
Scorsese? No, he's done several.
Yeah,
has he? Okay,
Silence.
Hugo.
Hugo, which I love that movie.
Yeah, I saw Hugo.
The DiCaprio
Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah. What was the one where I can't remember think of the name, but now it's like DiCaprio is like goes to the mental hospital.
Shutter Island.
Shutter Island. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I couldn't think of the name of that for some
Which
reason.
I called that as soon as I saw the trailer. I was like, oh shit, I think I know what happens.
We get yeah. Shyamalan, which
yeah,
for better or worse.
Get M. Night.
The question is, in The Irishman, are we going to hear Gimme Shelter? Because I think we're
probably, have to.
We're going to hear Gimme Shelter at least a couple times.
Yeah.
So.
I like his 3-hour movies. Casino is it like
yeah,
nope.
Feels like an hour and 15 minute long
exactly.
movie,
but it's mm-hmm. super long. Mm-hmm. It's like,
but if this is coming out on Netflix, then you get to hang out in your house and just get hit pause.
Watch it double speed. It. Yeah,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Netflix is
that's
getting,
weird.
The times and a half speed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna be.
You're gonna finish that. Yeah.
But for those of you at home, Travis is known to sometimes watch things at 1.5 speed. So
yes. Honestly, it makes Breaking Bad so much better. Because then, like, if it takes 6 minutes for somebody to walk down a hall and, like, grab a door handle and find out that it's locked and there's a whole bunch of, like, suspense in the meantime.
So it's got the standard speed, and then it's got, like, three times. And then you have, like, the meth speed of, like,
yes.
Let's knock this out.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's how I watch my porn. I'm like, who has all day?
Yeah.
24-minute scene? Like,
yeah.
I'll give you 5.
Yeah. I'm a busy man.
And that includes cleanup.
That includes that in the...
Okay.
So that's got to be a first for talking about porn cleanup in a Martin Scorsese-related podcast. That's got to be a first.
Well, considering what he said about my Marvel movies,
I'm
proud.
That is true.
Yeah. He talks some mad shit about my... So I don't want to get into this before I know this is a mini-sode, but yeah, so he said that they're not films and that he can't watch them or whatever, but yeah. My thing is, I'm loving the Marvel comic renaissance because technology has now reached a stage where, you know, you saw the weird, like, Jean-Claude Van Damme, like, Street Fighter movies and what they were, like, trying to do there. No. Like, if they had tried to do the Avengers or something like that, that's basically how it would have turned out.
Yeah.
But instead, you got, like, all this technology is finally caught up. You can actually put what has happened, like, on the page, like, in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And that's badass. And so, anyway, I guess I'm enjoying his tears.
Yeah.
He and Francis Ford Coppola, who said they are... Despicable or deplorable? Start with a D.
Jesus. And I feel strongly about that. And here's one reason why I feel strongly about that for Scorsese. I think this is hypocritical because it's like you look at Scorsese, like two of his good buddies, two of his contemporaries that he's friends with, there's Spielberg and Lucas. And
yeah,
you know, they all kind of came of age in Hollywood at the same time. And he dismissed these Marvel movies as amusement park rides. They're thrill rides and nothing more.
Which literally.
And Scorsese, yeah. Or you look at Spielberg and Lucas and their films like that they're famous for is like Jaws and Star Wars, Indiana Jones.
Which are amusement Jurassic, park got literally rides.
Literally made into amusement park
yeah.
rides.
Yeah.
It's like he doesn't bash them because they're buddies. And it's easier to like shit on the next yeah, generation and say, exactly. Oh, no, they're just making entertainment rides and that's it.
Yeah.
And so I think that's hypocritical.
I mean, like, and he's also placing himself and his films above all that. And be like, oh, mm-hmm. well, that's so yeah. pedestrian.
Yeah.
Just appealing to the lowest yeah. common denominator. He can go fuck himself with those eyebrows. Yeah. I enjoy his films.
Yeah. yeah. Well, I love his movies.
But he can Eskimo kiss my taint.
I get it.
I'm going to play yeah. devil's advocate.
No, I'm the same way. It's like, I don't want to interrupt, but like, I understand what he's saying. Yeah. And this is going to sound
movies,
weird.
Not
yeah,
films.
Exactly. It's like, mm-hmm. I get what he's saying. And also in the fact that it's like, it does take a director to direct a film. Mm-hmm. And obviously Travis, I'm not knocking it, but it's like, so many of these films have been CGI. And so when you say the directors that are directing it, were they, you know, yes, they directed it, but ultimately you just put someone in there to make computer graphics. And like, I mean, if you really think about it, it was like, so you didn't have anybody sitting there like directing this, that, and the other. It was like, they kind of put just somebody in there to put it all around. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, they're still directing, but I get what he was saying. But at the same time, it's like, hey, they had to put a lot of fucking time, effort, you know, with casting, filming this, filming that, you know, like pickups. It's like, so they're still films, in my opinion. It's like both of them. So it's like,
but they're having to play in the same sandbox.
Exactly. Yeah. They're, it's like
I get what you're saying. Yeah. They can't just give the concept to, or you know, the director is given the concept.
Yeah.
And they have to play within the confines of this, and they can't go outside.
Yeah.
That I understand. They can call them movies and not films if that's what they're going for.
But I will say, I mean, dude, I mean, you think Lucas gives a shit right now? That dude is a Scrooge McDuck. He is literally jumping in a pile of money every time he wakes up in the morning. Mm-hmm. He don't give a shit.
Yeah.
It was just like, so I'm like, Scorsese, why does it bother you? Like, why does it bother you so much?
Because mm-hmm. guess doing what? Press right now.
People are still going to see your. Yeah, exactly. It's like, this could just be mm-hmm. one of the greatest troll jobs of all time, but it's like.
It's real convenient timing.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's just like, man, it's like, come on. Mm-hmm. Like, come on.
So you're going to be devil's advocate.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you guys. And. I hate the side of film nerd community that says that picks on the movies is like they're not cinema, it's not art, without understanding like the craft and technique that goes into how ridiculously well made and executed those movies are. It takes a clever artist to masterfully tell those stories, like yeah. Spielberg level summer blockbuster. Every comedic line is hitting. The action is fluid and understandable. This is an impossible task that there's yeah. like 20 people on the planet that can do, and maybe only two other than the Russo brothers could have done in the last like three movies that they directed.
No.
That's not my opinion. That's an objective fact that I looked up.
No.
they are phenomenal storytellers and filmmakers.
Was it Thor Ragnarok? Was that the...
I love that one too.
YTT? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But that was them.
Yeah.
No.
That was
YTT.
They did two.
The Civil War. They did.
Civil War.
They did two Captain America movies.
Yeah.
They've done the Avengers.
Yeah.
Movies.
Yeah. I couldn't remember if
after
it was yeah, Civil
Age
War.
Of Ultron. That was still
yeah.
Whedon.
Still mm-hmm. Whedon. Okay. And he's a great storyteller too.
Yeah.
I don't think he's as good as they are. They just destroyed it. Mm-hmm. But I agree with them in the sense that. There is a tier of funded, like mid-budget movie that's dying. They're like $40 million art house movie that they'll only trust to like three or four directors on the planet. Like, and, I mean, Tarantino gets like $70 or $80 million, but there's a lot of those mid-tier movies that mm-hmm. like they don't give money to anymore. So, and I've heard Scorsese say this before. Sorry to keep going on about this, but I'll get to a point. He says,
"Trust me, we are used to it."
the role of like, especially the cinematic artist, is to like make something edifying and like nourishing to the soul, and have a to be challenging. And the difference between, I just saw a great interview with someone the other day that was like, I don't understand the people that don't like genre films. Genre films are amazing. They take you on a ride. And they take control, and you just go on that ride with them. I love those movies.
Yeah. No.
But I also love the movies that are challenging that you have to put some work into, and that they don't spell everything out, and that's a little bit more nourishing culturally and emotionally. But also him saying that's just total bullshit.
Yeah.
And Coppola made like fucking Jack. That guy has not just been making art house movies his whole life. Yeah. Like,
he's made some crap.
Oh, yeah, he's just total rubbish. And probably his worst movies are the ones that try to be art house, like in the aughts, like Tetra and some of those other ones. You're like, God, man, this is awful.
Yeah.
Tetra? I don't know Tetra.
It had not Vincent D'Onofrio, but
it had
Vincent Gallo.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a decent amount of people in it. It's not awful, but it's just like, I don't know, you're trying real hard to do something that's not working.
It's ding-a-ling.
And The Rainmaker was a total like populist movie
to make money.
Yeah, it's meant to make money, and not that he didn't do a good job at it, but there wasn't like a super challenging artistic statement in there. It's like, no, you adopted a John Grisham book and told it like really straightforward.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. Having Matt Damon as your lead guy and having John Grisham's name above the title.
Yeah, it says John Grisham's The Rainmaker. It doesn't say a Francis Ford Coppola joint.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, also their age shows a lot about like, you know, they don't like what the kids and the whippersnappers are doing these days.
Get off my lawn.
Yeah. Both James Gunn and John Favreau.
James Gunn's a lovely storyteller. That guy's mind-blowingly good.
They both tweeted something to the effect that like whenever the Coppola and Scorsese were, you know, up and coming making films, there were people that were like, what are they making? What is this filth? Like, you know, horse heads in like, you know, in a bed.
That is true.
Like,
yeah, yeah.
This is, you know, crazy gang style assassinations and violence and stuff. Like, this is ridiculous. This is just, you know, I mean, I'm sure they were the up in arms, like torture porn of the day. They were like, oh my God, I can't believe this.
Mm-hmm. The Last Tango in Paris kind of stuff.
Yeah. That's my favorite movie.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a wild movie.
It is.
I remember I rented that in like middle school.
That's too young.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was too young at like 20. It was like 3 years ago. I was like, this is beautiful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I still felt weird about watching it.
It was crazy.
I just thought of this when you mentioned it, like, you know, him bashing, quote unquote. I mean, he's basically bashing just Marvel, but also bashing just, in my opinion, like directors. You know, it's like, oh, it's not really filmmaking. Like, well, it's kind of fucked up.
It's a bad look, too.
It's a bad look, but, and I was just thinking, like, you know, we're going to switch it over, but, like, what about, you know, Christopher Nolan?
Mm-hmm.
Like, are you bashing that guy? Like, he made a comic book movie, but he fucking destroyed it for three straight films. Mm-hmm. And it was like, are you bashing him, too, or are you just bashing Marvel?
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, it's kind of like, because Christopher Nolan's a badass director.
Yeah.
And I was like, so are you just bashing the Marvel movies or just all comic book movies?
Oh, I got one more point. So James Cameron was also talking shit.
Oh, he sucks.
About movies. But he was
like
at one point,
though.
He was at one point attached to,
my James. There we go. We have a small tornado.
Well, that's
like,
way to go, Todd. Just leave that one in next time.
That's what she said.
But no, he was attached to direct Spider-Man back in the early 90s or mid-90s or something. Mm-hmm. And that script got... I read the script online. This is just a tangent. But they, you know, rehashed it and used it in the second Andrew Garfield movie with Jamie Foxx. And it was dog shit. Nobody's come up with a new idea since the mid-90s. They're like, we're going to get that in there someday. Like the producer in Wild Wild West said, like, giant mechanical spider in the third act.
Mm-hmm.
It was supposed to be in that Kevin Smith Superman.
Now, that movie's art.
Shit.
Wild Wild West.
The song that goes with it.
I saw it in theaters.
Wiki Wiki Wild. Wiki Wiki Wild Wild West.
It's the Willenium.
Jim West. Desperado.
Rough Rider. No, you don't want.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
I need another Will Smith album, not movie.
Yeah, I agree. With Jazzy Jeff.
Wait, did Bad Boys 3 already come out?
The trailer's out.
The trailer's out? Okay. The
trailer is out.
Good.
Martin Lawrence has been living well.
Oh, yeah.
He has been living well.
Yeah. Well, he's got that Black Knight sequel coming out, too.
Hey, man, that was actually kind of good.
I think that you were doing a crossover with the kid in King Arthur's Court.
I want a Big Mama's House Madea crossover.
Yes.
That's where we need to go.
Is that Tyler Perry money?
Mm-hmm. Get in there and, Big Mom Dia, go to Egypt.
I saw the best picture graph the other day. It was like showing to scale how big Hollywood lots are, and it had like Universal Studios. No one can see this, but it's the size of like a pencil eraser, and then you have Tyler Perry Studio, and it's like 5 by 5 inches. It's like 30 times larger than like Universal or the MGM lot. Because he needs that much space to create.
Yeah, I gathered that watching Madea's funeral, where it's like, man, this is spacious. There's a lot of you can really see. It's expansive. You know.
God. Did you go see his Alex Cross movie?
I did.
No, I'd missed that.
Is it with it was the dude a nightmare. From Lost?
Yeah, Matthew Fox.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. It's a nightmare.
I miss Morgan Freeman.
We all do.
Yeah, we all.
But yeah, we toured Warner Brothers when we went to Hollywood, and it's 40 acres, which is a pretty good size. A lot. I mean, it's a functioning community.
I think his is 180 acres.
God. Speaking of 40 acres, how long is this mini episode?
Yeah, and where's my wine?
We're out of wine, so this is a good spot to wrap things up.
Yeah. Hey, what wine was that we're out of?
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah, I got to do my thing. We're drinking the Bull, which is a red blend, 2017. It is...
That's good shit.
...from the Sierra Foothills, which is in California, so I know that.
Actually, rest in peace. Well, Sonoma.
So. Yeah. But yeah, this is Irwin Family Vineyards, good stuff. It's...
red and wet.
It's easy drinking. Yeah, I thought it was nice, fruity.
I drank all mine. I liked it.
Yeah.
I'm for it.
Mm-hmm. Dry, but not too dry. You know, yeah. I think it's a very good, you know, pounder.
Ooh.
So.
That's what she said.
Pod pounder.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Todd, if we wanted to listen to you talk about movies more and wine, where would we go to do that?
You'll be able to find my review, moviereviews.us. I'll be reviewing The Irishman.
Ooh.
Ooh. And Apple Podcast, Spotify.
English. Are we going to do a podcast on that?
Oh, I'm sure we will.
Yeah, I'd like to go see it. I would like to go see it.
Yeah.
Go see it. We can wait, right?
I want to do the first season of ALF, too. So, just something to think about.
Is it streaming right now?
It is.
Yeah.
I think it's on Hulu.
Christ. That's not what I wanted to hear, because now I'm going to go home and watch ALF all day. It's
like, damn, I really wanted to see like what the landscape looked like on Melmac.
Mm-hmm.
Never got to...
I know. They canceled that show very abruptly.
Yeah.
That was the time of abrupt cancellations. You had that, Charles in Charge, Major Dad. Those shows just ended abruptly. Blossom.
Night Court.
Blossom. Yeah. We didn't get the finales that we deserved for those. I don't have closure on any of those shows. So that's just something to think
Small
about.
Small wonder.
God damn it, yeah.
Clarissa never explained it all.
It was just an abrupt time. It's like, it's where...
No one gave a shit.
Business rule. It's like, wow. We're done.
We got 3 seasons. Tie bow on this.
There wasn't a proper Married with Children finale.
Todd, can That's we end true. This episode? I need a refill.
So, thank you guys for joining us. Thank you, Daniel, for the enlightening discussion.
Yeah, yes, thanks for having me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you have a book in an ebook out?
Ebook is coming soon. Hopefully, the next couple weeks. Movies and Wine.
And what's it? Oh, Movies and Wine.
Well, I mean, I'm going to call it Cinema Vino, just but like the book version of Movies and Wine.
Movies and Wine, and like some nude pics kind of throughout there.
Well, yeah. I have a book of yours already.
There you go.
Yeah. But it's collected criticisms.
Mm-hmm. It's just an essay. And I'll probably do one of those volume 2 around Christmas time.
About the holidays.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to do a bad movie volume of all my bad reviews and collect them all together.
I mean, I'm just going to say this right now. We're trying to end this podcast, but we are gonna watch Die Hard on Christmas, right?
I want us to watch Saving Christmas with Kurt Cameron, too.
Christ. Oh, my God. I love that movie.
It is amazing.
Is that a Lifetime movie?
I could do a 2-hour podcast on that movie. Yeah. We started it. We were like, we need to watch this again now, because that was disturbing.
Mm-hmm.
It's wrong. It's detestable on every level.
It's ugly.
Yeah, like kids should not be allowed to watch it because of how awful it is. Mm-hmm. Turns out Santa Claus is a... murderous, cantankerous, like sociopath that if you badmouth him in public,
he'll kill you.
Yeah, he bludgeons you to death in front of witnesses, and then says that God helped him.
Yeah,
that God is the reason.
He's God's crusader on earth. Yeah. And materialism is good. That's my favorite part of the ending, where it's like
beautiful.
buying presents, spending money, and living extravagantly is God's will. It's like, man, that just gets you. It's like it's a wonderful life.
That's true.
At least he has a hot wife.
That's true. And a hot sister.
Did you guys ever see the Fireproof movie where he's a firefighter? And he has to fireproof his marriage?
What?
Beautiful beyond words.
We need more cameras here, because my face would blank stare into. I was like, what the hell?
Just
Kirk Cameron's got the last 10 years of his career are something to behold.
Tay, you have an Instagram, Tay Does Vino?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just are you going to do anything with it ever?
I just posted something right now.
Oh, I did?
So nice. I think it's in my personal affairs.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Yeah. Cinema Vino Podcast.
Moviereviews.us.
Enunciate. And yeah, moviereviews.us. Check it out. So, but thank you guys for joining us, and we will see you next time.
Yeah.
Too many cooks.